With the help of higher resolution modeling systems, less disruption to daily life, and the economy occurred than otherwise might have when Hurricane Andrew made landfall last year. That's thanks to a highly accurate landfall prediction made possible by supercomputers. Well, this month, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration begins the next phase of a $44.5 million upgrade to its supercomputers. Dr. Louis Uccellini is director of the National Weather Service at NOAA. He explained the strategy behind NOAA's newest upgrade.
The upgrade we announced is part of a cycle. About every a year and a half to every 2 years, we upgrade our computer. It's just that this upgrade had an extra increase to it based on the resources we received from the Disaster Relief Appropriation Act of 2013. So this really got us an extra boost that we needed to not only predict weather with more certainty in extended ranges, but with better resolution, especially as it relates to extreme events. So we can bring the forecast with a bit more specificity with these extreme events that we're always having to deal with. So this is a big deal for us and a long-planned activity that we were finally able to bring to the table.
All right, so tell us the components here. I know IBM is a major contractor, but you've got hardware from one place and services from another. I mean, it's a complicated acquisition a little bit, isn't it?
Well, with computer acquisitions, you have integrators and that bring the different hardware components. It's not just the computer. It's the servers on the front end, the distribution of the information on the back end of these systems. So you have an integrator, and IBM is the integrator. They have been for our operational systems. It's just that this time around, we have a new hardware component, and that involves Cray. And in fact, the major upgrade that we're talking about does involve Cray processors. But IBM is still there as our integrator, as they have been.
And is this compatible with the infrastructure you already have in supercomputing?
Yes. There is some things we'll have to work through, but in general, these processors have become more compatible with each other, and we don't see this as a major issue for us at this point.
All right, so give us, before we get to some of the tasks at hand with weather prediction, just give, for those of us that like these things, the gearheads, a little bit of the speeds and feeds that you'll have.
Yeah, so in terms of the peak speeds, we in 2013, we went from 90 teraflops to 213. Next month, as part of the same, as I was saying, the same upgrade cycle, we'll be going from 213 to 776 teraflops. And then with this extra resources that we're bringing in the announcement that we made last week, we'll go from 776 teraflops to 2.5 petaflops per machine. We have a primary backup system. So we'll basically be up to a 5 petaflop operational support system by October of this year. So basically, we're tripling the speeds as we go through. And for this one, we're accelerating that within the same year. We're going through two upgrades and getting up now into the petaflop arena that will really allow us to greatly enhance our numerical modeling capabilities.
So that gives you an almost really more than an order of magnitude more power than you had just a few years ago.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, this is a tremendous increase. Now, if you measure this from 2013 to now, to go from 90 teraflops to 2.5 petaflops by the end of this year is really a tremendous increase. And this is what we were shooting for with the resources that we were getting from this Disaster Relief Appropriation Act after Sandy. So, yes, this is a big increase for us.
Now, is this all located in the main Silver Spring headquarters?
No, we have a primary computing system in the data center in Reston, and then the backup is in Orlando. So, but we will be at the same locations and building off the current, what I would call the current infrastructure that allows us to get over 2 billion observations a day into our computing system and allows us to distribute millions of products that come out of these numerical models. So we'll be relying on the same infrastructure, just adding the capacity to it.
We're speaking with Dr. Louis Uccellini, the Assistant Administrator for Weather Services at NOAA. When this machine goes on in Reston, does the rest of the town kind of brown out for a moment?
No. The These data centers have the electric and cooling capacities, and they're designed to handle this kind of computing capacity. So it shouldn't be a problem for anybody around that area.
And you've mentioned 2 billion observations a day, so you must have a lot of sensors around. Where does the data come in from?
So to produce numerical forecasts, we rely on three components, the global observations, the numerical models themselves, the science behind that, and the last, obviously, is the computing capacity to run these models at the highest possible resolution. The global observation component is principally satellite-based now. Most of those observations come from polar orbiting satellites. Many different kinds, operational and research satellites now are used by the Weather Service for these numerical predictions. So we have the infrastructure to capture these observations in real time, process them, and get them into our data assimilation system within set time periods. So this is a major component, a major infrastructure component that basically people don't see, but is very important to our ability to make forecasts 5, 6, 7, 8 days in advance.
And does this require redoing all the software that you had, or is it something you could kind of a plug-compatible situation where you can still run the same algorithms and software programs that you were running?
Yes, in general, the software, the model software, isn't affected by increasing the capacity of the computing system. When we go into increasing the resolution, improving the physics, improving what we call data assimilation to access the information in all of these observations and make sure that it's usable by the models, that type of software upgrades and the science basis for those upgrades is an ongoing effort that involves not only people in NOAA, but a large segment of the research community outside of NOAA that's been involved with us over the last several years. So, there'll be software upgrades once we get these computers bulked up. And, in fact, we're working on that right now, even as I speak.
And what does it take to get all of this installed? I imagine it's probably a months-long process.
Yeah, I've often said that there are science efforts all around the world that play a role in the upgrade of these models, but there's a group of software engineers, as I call them, both within the government and, of course, we contract out on some of these services. But these folks have been around this type of work for many years now. And I consider them some of the best software engineers in the world. And it does take a major effort to modify the models, to test it, assess it, and then to replace the current code and do that seamlessly. And as I said, we have two computing systems, and we have to do it on both in a parallel mode. And this takes a major effort. So when we have these software upgrades, it isn't something that's done overnight. A lot of work goes on leading up to the changes, and then during the changes themselves, we're talking 6 months or more to actually affect the software change in these numerical modeling systems.
So this machinery is both producing products for the weather services that you put out at NOAA, but it's also a research machine for scientific improvement of forecasting for the future.
That's correct. So what we do on these machines is what I would call the last step in the research to operations process to make sure that the science is sound, that it fits within our operational schedule. We have a very tight operational schedule. People expect these products to come out at specific times. So all that software has to fit. It can't just be better software. It has to be efficient, documented, and fit within our schedule. So all of that kind of testing goes on these systems. And what we're finding now is that there's a lot of research and development activity that can actually be done on these operational models. And the research community that we support work on these models and so that their improvements can be plugged back into operations even faster. So there is some applied research that goes on these systems, but it's mostly focused on the research to operations itself.
When you say higher resolution, that means you can have more accurate weather predictions for smaller and smaller areas, correct?
That's That's correct. The idea here is that higher resolution allows us to resolve the physical and dynamical interactions more accurately and will give us a better forecast. So I can give you an example. Our hurricane modeling system, the resolution on that system was increased to 3 kilometers this year, and we're going to actually, for the next hurricane season coming up in 2015, we're going down to 2 kilometers in a resolution, and this allows us to start simulating the cloud wall around the eye and the evolution of the eye itself, which is an important factor in us being able to predict the hurricane intensity changes. And what we found this year with Arthur, Hurricane Arthur, that hit the East Coast on the 4th of July weekend, it was the first model that accurately predicted the landfall being focused on the North Carolina Outer Banks, which allowed us to work with the emergency management community a lot more effectively, both to where we should be evacuating people, but more importantly, or as importantly, where we don't have to evacuate people at a time when that would have had tremendous economic impacts. It was a very successful prediction. So we're finding that model next year, in the next hurricane season, running at higher resolution, will give us even better forecasts, not only for the United States, but around the globe. So we'll be working with the Asian countries, for example, on these typhoon forecasts for the Western Pacific. So we're pretty excited about the types of forecasts we'll be able to get with this greater computing capacity.